Hello and welcome to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the campus of Tappet Brothers University, or old TPU, as we call it, during orientation week for the upcoming fall semester.
In other schools, orientation is a bunch of baloney.
Oh, it's a waste of time.
But here, it's not a waste of time. We start right at orientation teaching mechanics useful concepts like, you know, the difference between bring and take. How many mechanics know that?
Left and right, up and down, all those important things. Would you like to take a call?
I would love it.
If you would like to call us, our number is 1-800-332-9287. We're ready. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Alan from Leesburg, Virginia. How you doing?
Is that Alan with two L's
yes.
and an A, an E, or
yes.
what?
Yes,
That's one L and one A.
Two A's.
Actually, two A's.
Yeah. Right, okay.
I got it. Where are you from?
Leesburg, Virginia.
Yeah, sure.
Just outside of Washington, D.C.
Yeah, you're not a lawyer, are you?
I plead the fifth.
What's up, Alan?
Well, I'll tell you. Yeah. First of all, I've got to do an aside because I got a contribution for your nouns of assembly.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you know that, as everybody does, that chickens that bring us eggs are called layers. So how about layers of chickens?
Layers of chickens.
Yeah, I like that. That's
you like
cute.
That?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think you're going to win a Pulitzer or anything for it, but I think it's cute.
Would I win a
T-shirt?
A Pulitzer? Like
a Pulitzer.
Pulitzer. P-U-L-L-E-T?
Yeah.
Hey, that's good. Hey, you're quick, Alan.
I know.
Want to do a radio show? The Pulitzer Prize. That's
Pulitzer.
Very good.
Anyway, right. Why did you call us?
Well, a few months ago, we needed a second car. So we bought a 1982 Chevrolet Chevette with 105,000 miles on it.
Oh, you must work in the public defender's office, huh?
Woo-hoo. I mean, you talk about you must be a devout religious person. What? Because anyone who does that has to believe that there is some divine intervention and that nothing is going to happen to you. Right?
Well, it didn't work though.
Oh, it didn't work.
Oh, it doesn't have to work for you to be a believer. In fact, it's better if it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's true.
It makes you more of a believer.
That's true. Well, this doesn't work.
Yeah. Well, how many things have happened to it?
Well, I'll tell you.
Why don't you just give us the list of the things that still work on the car?
Well, let's see. The manual window, you close the window manually. That works.
Yeah, that's good.
All right, go ahead. Tell your story. We've interrupted you enough.
We have.
We were driving home one day, and all of a sudden, I heard this pop noise from the front of the engine, and the thing started to lose power, and it was clanging and banging, and we smelled gasoline fumes, and fortunately, we were close enough to the house, so I coaxed it into the driveway. Well, next morning, I look under the hood, and here's the spark plug laying out of the engine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
sure.
Now, the threads were still in the block, but I'm looking at the wire with the body of the spark plug.
Ah.
So I said, well, I don't know if this is worth putting some new plugs in. Well, I put some new plugs in, and it seems to be working fine now.
Sure.
But I'm at the point now where I need to put some more money into it, more than like $12 to $15. And
yeah.
My question is this something, was this just a bad plug, or do I need to take this animal out and shoot it?
No, that was just a bad plug. That has nothing to do with
the car. You say that what remained inside
was half the plug.
No.
No, all that remained inside were the threads.
No, but the threads not of the spark plug, the threads of the cylinder head. You were able to screw a new spark plug into the hole, were you not?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh. Okay, you didn't have to unscrew anything from the spark plug hole.
Oh, no, I did. The threads of the plug.
Oh, okay, I understand it.
Right.
The ceramic part came out. The porcelain part came out.
Right, the plug split in half.
Right.
Okay, I got it.
Sure.
No, that was a bad plug. The engine
didn't do that. No problem. This car is good for another 105K.
You think so?
Well, certainly that is no measure of how long it's going to last. That was nothing.
Oh.
I mean, that was just bad luck. The spark plug broke. Probably because whoever put it in, who was probably you, You don't have to admit to this, but whoever put it in probably didn't have the socket wrench on there squarely and bent it and cracked the porcelain, and it broke.
Okay.
Yeah, so
that... But that could happen to any car. Has nothing to do with the car. It has to do with the spark plug and the person who put it in.
Oh, well, it wasn't me, but I put the next set in, so if it falls apart again, I guess I have nobody to blame.
So if it still runs now...
Yeah.
Fine.
If it's not too personal, how much did you pay for this car?
Pay? They paid him.
$500.
$500?
Wow.
I guess that satisfies the axiom that anything that runs is worth $500.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
Good luck with your car, Alan.
Well, thank you very much.
Good luck.
I appreciate it.
And carry that spark plug wrench with you at all times.
Oh, yeah.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. Thanks a lot.
All right. 1-800-332-9287.
Pulitzer Prize was very good.
Quick, I'd say.
Very good.
Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Who's this?
This is Betsy from Ithaca, New York.
Hello, Betsy. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you guys?
Fine.
Good.
Terrific. What's up?
Well, 2 years ago, I bought my first American car.
What American car did you buy?
Well, I bought a 90 Mercury Sable.
Well, that's good because Ford owns 25% of Mazda, so
exactly.
It isn't like you've left the fold.
I didn't make too much of a change.
Yeah.
But the city, and it's run perfectly. It's got 113,000 miles on it.
Wow.
About a month ago, I went to Florida for a vacation. Why in July, I have no idea, but I did.
You probably drove too, huh?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, sure.
Of course. And on the way back, I stopped at my mother's house in Jacksonville, and she has an immaculate garage floor.
Uh-huh.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. I see it now.
You got
see it, too.
When I backed up to go home, she waved goodbye and then...
Screamed at you.
Yeah, screamed. You got it.
Betsy!
And there on her floor, garage floor, was an oil...
Oil slick.
You got it.
Yeah.
But it came from the back of the car.
Ah.
Yeah. So I took it to just a gas station there.
Mm-hmm.
They looked under the car. They couldn't find anything. The engine was running perfectly, so I said...
The hell with it. I'll just keep driving.
Keep driving.
Yeah.
So I drove from Jacksonville to Ithaca in 16 hours, got home. I drive.
You do drive.
We know that already.
And went to work the next day in Syracuse, which is why I have
113,000 miles in your
you
car.
Got it.
Right.
After I got out of work 8 hours later, there in my parking space was this oil slick again.
Mm.
And right in the back end. I took it to the dealer, of course.
Yeah.
I said, there's something leaking from the back of the car, and he said, it's coming from the spare tire well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you spilled something in there.
That's what they said. I did not.
You did, too.
I did not.
No, as a matter of fact, I was just going to say, we had a customer that came in a few months ago with a Ford Taurus, which is the same car as yours.
Yeah, right.
And he had the same problem. He had this pink fluid.
Pink.
This was oily and greasy.
Well, this was oily, too. You know, pink and oily fluid dripping like transmission fluid. And yeah. He said, I'm leaking transmission fluid.
From the back.
From the rear transmission.
From the rear, right.
And of course, we looked under his car and really didn't see anything. And then I opened his trunk and found that he had had a quart of transmission fluid in one of those resealable plastic containers.
Mm-hmm.
And it had fallen over and the cover had come loose. And it had leaked onto the carpet in his trunk.
There is nothing on the carpet.
Well, it finally made its way out of the trunk.
But there's been nothing in my trunk except my suitcase.
All right, we'll go to plan B.
You want to go back? Let's revert. I don't believe that you spilled anything in the trunk.
Thank you.
I think it's one of your shock absorbers that's leaking.
Oh.
It's the only thing back there that's part of the car that has oil in it.
As usual, my brother is grasping at straws.
I am using all the information available to us and putting it together with my vast experience of lying down underneath cars. I mean, did they at least check the shock absorbers?
It isn't the shocks. It's more likely to be your gas tank leaking, and it's washing away some of the undercoating of rust proofing that's on the underside of the car. And that's where that greasy, sticky substance is coming from.
Well, why would there be a half an inch in the spare tire well?
Half an inch of what?
Of this gunk.
Oh, there was gunk in the spare tire well.
I rest my case.
There goes the shock theory.
Oh.
And there goes the gas tank theory.
Gas tank theory.
You're back to spilling something?
Yeah, something got spilled. Maybe you didn't do it.
Oh, no, I couldn't have.
You couldn't have?
No, oh, no.
Why not?
Well, did they at least clean it out for you?
Well, yeah. Now, that's the rest of the story.
I mean, could they figure out what it was? Did they taste it? Did they rub it in their hair? What did they do?
They said it was soapy, which matches their theory that I spilled something back there.
Okay, yeah, soapy.
But there's no evidence of any spill. You know, it's
I
not
have
in
it.
The tank.
When you go shopping, when you go to the grocery store, do you put your groceries in the trunk of the car?
Yes, but I don't come back in with an empty detergent bottle.
Well, maybe you came in with no detergent bottle.
Ah, come on.
No,
you
the
think
bottle
Betsy.
Would be back there.
Well,
sure.
maybe someone else threw the bottle away, saying, this bottle of whisk is empty. What's it doing in Betsy's trunk? Let me throw it out. Are you the only one that uses your car?
Yes.
There goes that theory, too.
Yes.
Well, whatever it is, it's something spilled, and that's good news because it means nothing is really leaking. There's nothing wrong with the car. And
Except that it came back after they cleaned it all up. 2 weeks later, it's back.
Huh?
It came.
Yes.
Whoa, Betsy! Whoa, you are taxing our little pea brains here. And what color is it?
Black.
How viscous is it?
What do you mean viscous?
How thick?
Oh, aha! It's not as thick as oil.
Not as thick as oil.
But it's that browny black color.
Browny black color.
And
is it slippery?
Kind of like the stuff you use in your hair, I think.
Is it slippery?
No, but it washes off easier than an oil does.
Washes off easier than
oil?
Yeah,
when you get it on your hands and your clothes, it does wash off.
Wow, Betsy, this
Isn't
is
that
a
strange?
Great one.
Well, I mean, they've eliminated the possibility of it coming from the tire. I mean, it couldn't be coming from the tire.
Well, I mean, I have no idea. What I would do, I would
right.
do a test. I mean, there's nothing in there except the tire.
Oh. No, and it runs fine, really.
Oh, no, we know that because...
I would take the tire out of that well.
Okay.
And you don't want to drive around without a spare, so lay a big plastic bag in the trunk and put the spare on top of the plastic bag. After cleaning out the spare tire well, and wait a couple of weeks and see what happens.
Okay.
Either there will be more stuff in the well, which will be a real mystery,
right.
or there will be stuff on the plastic bag.
And if there is stuff on the plastic bag, esteemed brother, where, pray tell, is that coming from?
She'll have to call us back.
Then I'll call you back.
Yeah.
And I'll say I have stuff leaking from my spare tire.
Yeah, do that test, and then we can at least figure out, is it the tire, or is it some other strange... Because, I mean, there's nothing back there.
Exactly. There is nothing back there.
I think the tire...
It's got to be the tire.
The tire
is melting.
Sublimating into a gas and condensing back into a liquid.
Oh, could be.
Well, I hope so, because then that would answer it.
Do that, would
that
you, Betsy,
would.
Really? And call us back in a couple of weeks and let us know
if that's off.
What's happening.
If it's in the well or if it's in the tire.
Yeah.
Right.
Got it.
Send us a sample, Betsy, and we'll get Murky working on it immediately.
Okay.
Thanks for your call.
Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, more calls are coming up right after this. This message comes from NPR sponsor eBay Motors. If you're like most people, there's been a time where you had to stop working on your car because you didn't have the right parts. But eBay Motors thinks the only thing that should slow your car down is the brakes, or maybe friction, but not a lack of parts. That's why eBay Motors has all the right parts at the right prices. In fact, they have 122 million parts all at your disposal. That way, you can keep your project moving and your car not just running, but running in style. ebaymotors.com. Let's ride.
Well, as most of our listeners know, the Puzzle is on vacation this summer. Mm. That's just fine with us because the Puzzle has been pretty lousy lately, hasn't it?
I can't comment.
Very kind of you. But rest assured...
since you're my brother, I will not disagree with you.
Rest assured that the Puzzler will return and once again provide my brother with an opportunity to nap at least twice during every show. I've noticed that you kind of fade off into the ozone.
As soon as I
start the Puzzler, you start reading through all the mail you have, looking for pictures of Sonia Henney's tutu.
Exactly. I mean, you will admit that you do have a tendency to drag it out, you know? And so I take that opportunity.
I will give no Puzzler before its time. I mean, if a Puzzler requires a certain amount of explanation or background information...
Or obfuscation.
Obfuscation or whatever it takes. I can't curtail the Puzzler for...
For your purposes. The charm of the Puzzler is not so much in the final question that you ask.
Because it's always crummy.
But in the web that you weave, that story that you weave, and I think that's charming. So... I do take an opportunity to read my mail during that charming time.
Or snooze. Anyway, I simply wanted to mention that if you've got a Puzzler that you think we can use, We'd love to see it because we don't have anything for the upcoming season, so to speak. But you can send it to us here at Puzzler Tower, not as lousy as usual, Puzzler Division, Box 3500. That's a 35 with two zeros after it.
Yeah.
Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Ma 02238. And if we use your Puzzler and you happen to catch us, if you're listening to that show, we'll send you like a T-shirt or a license plate frame or something like that whenever Rogers gets around to it. And anyway, if you want to call us, the number is 1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, I'm Connie Stone in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Hi, Connie.
Connie, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good.
Well, I've got a 1985 Plymouth Horizon that eats batteries.
Eats batteries?
It eats them. We've gone through four batteries in 5 years.
And how do the batteries fail?
They die. I mean, the car dies, we get it recharged. The battery dies again, and we get it recharged. And then finally, there's nothing left in the battery.
And you get
we get a new one.
But when you buy the batteries, does anyone ever have the presence of mind to check the charging system?
Of course.
Well, yeah, we had a new alternator put on 2 years ago, but at that time, we even believed that we didn't need a new alternator, that there was something else wrong. Yeah. And I've taken it to an electrical wizard, and he told me that I had a dead battery. That's fine. Tell me something new.
Real Einstein, huh?
Now, yeah. When it goes dead, when does it go dead?
Mostly it's after a short trip that we would, you know, like we'd go to get dinner and come out and we would have no car to get home.
Right, the classic way that a battery goes dead.
Yeah.
With no warning whatsoever.
No warning whatsoever.
And the electrical wizard that I took it to, he disconnected a fan that used to come on after the engine shut off.
Yeah. Oh, thinking that was draining it down?
Right.
Unlikely, because even if it were draining it down, it wouldn't render the battery unchargeable. In other words, you could take a storage battery that's healthy, and you can leave your headlights on, for example, and unlike a flashlight battery that when it's dead, you can recharge the battery, and it can be perfectly okay.
Right.
So the
and
idea
these batteries
that,
won't get recharged, eh?
Well, I mean, we can recharge it about three times.
And then it'll finally get to the point where it won't take a charge anymore.
Right.
Are you buying good quality batteries, or are you buying...
Yeah, we're getting diehard, Sears diehard. I mean, this is about the same battery.
Well,
you know?
Great. So they're replacing them free, mostly.
Well, you have to pay
pro-rated
for whatever.
Prorated free, yeah.
It's cost-effective for us just to keep going back to Sears.
Sure.
But, I mean, it's kind of a pain in the neck to have to get a new battery every year.
Yeah, they must love you, though. Oh, gee.
Well, it's been Connie. A couple of different Sears stores over the years.
Oh, yeah, you got to keep moving around so they can't get a fix on you.
We're mobile.
Well, I would have to guess that that there's something wrong with the charging system and that it's overcharging the battery. That's
yeah.
what's ruining it. It's instead of just running it down from... See, if you use up the battery because the charging system is inadequate, then you'll always be able to recharge it. And it's unlikely you'd kill it.
But when it dies and it won't take a charge anymore... Or just a few charges, as you say, two or three times, and then it won't take a charge again. That's usually because it's being overcharged rather than undercharged.
Okay.
This thing has an external voltage regulator, and I would recommend that you have the regulator replaced.
That's my guess, too.
Actually, that has been replaced.
Okay, very good.
Now what do we do, Frank?
Because it was, you know, the car, when you're driving the car, there's a little... needle that, you know, shows you how strong the battery is.
And
for a while, it was running way, way over.
So that's good.
Right, so we had the external, I believe that that's what it was, the voltage regulator was.
And since they have done that, does
that was about 3 years ago.
Does the needle now run mostly toward the center, or is it still
mostly
always...
to the center or over towards the negative, you know, not quite enough charge. And it's really bad when we try to run the air conditioning.
Oh, yeah? What does it do then?
I mean, it sucks the power way out of it.
It's,
if we try to run the air conditioning and run the headlights at the same time...
It won't... The needle will not stay in the center. It goes to the left.
Right. Well, yes, it goes to the left.
Way to the left?
Pretty far to the left, to the point of where the lights start dimming and the radio starts.
All right. Different answer.
Whoa! Hey, this is good. This is good.
Different answer. Different answer. I think that the thing is undercharging. Because you may need a new alternator.
Okay.
But you could go back to some other wizard. This other wizard you went to, he didn't know anything.
Yeah, I wouldn't go to this wizard. He doesn't know.
And I mean wizard.
And I probably wouldn't rely on Sears either.
Okay.
You know, they're very good at taking out old batteries and putting in new batteries or putting in some shocks or something, but I don't think that they would be really trustworthy in terms of a complex problem of this nature.
Mm-hmm.
Just like you can't trust us either.
Yeah. I mean, this requires someone who can really test the charging system and not just test it to see, yeah, there's juice coming out of the alternator. But he's got to measure exactly how many amps are coming out of the alternator, how many amps are coming out at various engine speeds, and he's got to put a load on the battery. You have to do it the right way. Sears won't do it that way.
No, they will. I mean, they have the machine to do it, and they can do it. It's a matter of finding the person that can look at all the information the machine is spewing out and interpret it.
Right.
And that's the difficult thing. Having the machine is no guarantee that you can fix the cars. I know, because we have the machines, too. So you should get it to another wizard, another electrical wizard, and ask him to check the charging system completely, because somewhere, either you're overcharging, which I suspect you're not, because of this latest information, I think you are undercharging, and you are running the battery down to nothing and killing it.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what's happening.
I mean, this might be a time to pop into the local Plymouth dealer.
For trade-in?
No. The Plymouth dealer might, in fact, have a better shot at figuring this out than anybody else.
Uh-huh.
Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe, but look in the yellow pages. You'll find somebody else.
The dealer or the automotive electronics?
Right, yeah.
Either one.
Or the wizard. Go back to the wizard.
No, we're done with the wizard.
Good luck, Connie.
The Oracle of Baton Rouge. Good luck.
Thanks for your call. All righty, bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Hey, stick around for more calls coming right up.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to attempt to answer your questions about cars, car repair, and etymology.
Well, it isn't actually etymology, but I don't know what the right word is. This is a
maybe great, it's entomology.
It could be a great letter from Austin Matlow from Jeffersonville, Indiana. Dear Click and Clack, isn't technology wonderful?
Isn't it?
I like that. There are, of course, car computers. But there has also been for some time on the market the Car Talk computer. I don't know what that means. I was recently writing a winning entry to your latest contest, whatever it was. Before mailing it in, however, I wanted to make sure that all the words were spelled correctly. Spelled S-P-E-L-E-D. Dusting off my trustworthy Franklin Wordmaster model WM1000 spell checker, I typed in each word. The computer confirmed that the spelling of click, C-L-I-C-K, was correct. Imagine my surprise, however, when the automatic Merriam-Webster thesaurus kicked in and furnished the following definition and synonyms. Click, verb, to result favorably according to plans and desires. Something really
right,
clicks.
Right, something clicks, right, exactly.
As in succeed, go over, pan out, prove out.
Yeah, I got it.
I wonder what would happen with clack.
Mm.
This time, the computer displayed four definitions. One, clack, verb, to emit a ready flow of inconsequential talk.
That's obvious now. Who is who? I must be click, and you must be clack.
I knew you'd think that. As in chat, babble, bribble, cackle, chatter, clatter, dither, gab, jaw, patter, da da da.
I guess the mystery is solved. People always ask me. People stop me in the street.
But there's more. Number two, verb. To make a rapid succession of short, sharp noises, and as in rattle, bicker, clatter, shatter.
Rant, rave.
It gets better. Number three, noun. Idle and often loud and incessant talk. As in chatter, babble, blabber, cackle, chat, chit-chat, gab, palaver, prate, prattle. Four, noun. A person who habitually retails private, scandalous, or sensational and often inaccurate information, as in gossip circulator, gossiper, quidnunc, scandalmonger, sieve, talebearer, telltale, car talk. At this point, a cloud of blue smoke filled the room, and something resembling automatic transmission fluid sprayed out of the computer, which now makes a loud da 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 sound.
Boy, I guess the mystery is finally solved, huh?
The mystery may be solved.
Jeez.
We got to save that one for the archives.
That is a classic. Who sent that?
Austin Matlow.
Hey, you know, this is normally the time when I introduce the new puzzler.
It's about time. Is it back from vacation?
You do your little snooze and
I read
that,
the mail, I eat a pretzel. Yeah.
Yeah, well, as everyone knows, the puzzle's on vacation, but it's going to return, you know, tanned, rested, and ready.
Time, man.
At least I hope so, anyway.
I hope so, too.
If it doesn't, boy, it's going to be, it's going to be a long
isn't
fall
it awful
winter.
To have a whole vacation and come back in just as bad shape as you were when you left, if not worse. Most people, when they come back from vacation, need a vacation.
Well, that's why we don't want the puzzler to come back crummy and lousy and
that's
boring.
Right. We don't.
We need your help.
Are we fundraising now?
we desperately need your help. So if you want to help us in the puzzler department.
Isn't public radio wonderful?
Yes, you ask for help.
We ask for help to do the show. We ask for help to pay for the studio. And people do it.
Yes, it's wonderful.
What are they, nuts?
Anyway, we need your help in the puzzle department. So if you have a puzzler that we might use that might be good.
Yeah.
Even if it isn't so good, we'll take it because we might be able to adapt it and to,
exactly.
and to improve it.
You know, ideas don't always start out as brilliant ideas. They start out small and they sometimes adding the right things to it, like all the embellishments that you add to all the...
Right, so we may be able
to... You take one-line puzzlers and turn them into 15-minute dissertations.
We may be able to improve your crummy little puzzler, so... Leave no stone unturned. If you have a puzzler of any kind, send it to us and we'll put Ken Rogers onto reading them all next week. Anyway... Here's the address. Puzzler Tower, Potentially Usable Puzzler Division.
PUPD.
Yes. Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
You're falling down on the job.
No, I have to do it slowly.
I was impressed by the little cessure there. That was
a
nice touch.
You know, people take it for granted when I just throw in our fair city. I thought... It had to be set off.
Yes, it was indeed. Snooze off is more like it. Matt, 02238. Now, if you want to call us, the number is 1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Kristen Judge from Scottsdale, Arizona.
Kristen, now hold it. That's with a K, isn't it?
Thank you. Yes, it is.
Is that with an E or an I?
An I.
Kristen.
If it's done correctly.
Kristen, sure. I knew that. From where? From Scottsdale?
Scottsdale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what are you doing in Scottsdale?
Well, driving around an American car.
But you moved there from somewhere else, like the Midwest, didn't you?
Actually, from New York.
That's the Midwest.
Missed the Midwest to us.
From New York.
Yeah, Rochester.
Yeah, and you're driving around in an American car.
Yes, a Ford Escort.
Mm.
Yeah, I know. I tried. I have friends who work in the Ford plant in Detroit, so I thought I'd try an American car. And... So,
yeah, well, okay.
I won't do it again, but... I took my car in for a routine brake inspection.
Yes. Uh-huh.
A free brake inspection.
Yes.
A little card in the mail.
There's no such thing as a free inspection.
Exactly. Well, I got new pads put on the front, and then 2 days later I started getting this noise that sounded like they had left a wrench down by my tire, and it would hit the bottom floorboard, it felt like, when I was coming to a stop at about 5 miles an hour.
Did you get a boom, boom,
a
boom.
Real clunking sound? Boom, boom, boom.
That's exactly it. That clunk right there that you just did.
Ooh.
Was it repetitive with each revolution of the wheel? Was it
about a half revolution.
So, boom, 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 boom.
Yes, just like that.
Okay.
Oh. So I went in.
What year Escort is this?
91.
Okay.
I don't like that noise, by the way.
What about the noise?
I don't like it.
Oh, I hate it. It's horrible. So it got worse because I went in, they put new pads on it.
Mm-hmm.
And they couldn't find out what was wrong. And they said, well, put new pads on. The new pads were on. And it was great, no noise for about 3-4 days. I thought, oh, they fixed it. And then it came back.
Mm.
This was the went back to them again.
Okay, and they said you need new disc rotors.
No, they didn't never mentioned disc rotors.
They didn't, okay.
They put Ford pads on it instead, thinking maybe that was the problem.
Okay.
They weren't Ford pads before that.
Yeah.
The Ford pads lasted about a month before the sound came back. And
Ooh.
Then the sound came back again.
Mm.
But it got so bad after driving around one day, I thought something was going to fall off. So I just drove directly into the shop because it sounded, when I was going about 5 miles an hour, the noise was so repetitive that it sounded like something.
Oh, yeah. No, it's clearly a warped disc rotor.
It is.
Absolutely.
I knew you would help.
Yeah. I mean, who did this job?
It's a...
A dealer?
No.
And why do they have your address?
No, it's just like a tire. And
you got a flyer in the mail. Is that what you got? Or was it addressed to Kristen?
Yes.
Or occupant. Right.
Well, I had gone there before for an oil change.
Oh, okay. So they said, fill this out and make sure you give us your correct address.
Right.
Okay.
I always give my brother's address when I fill out
those
things.
Is that what I get all that mail for?
Anyway, when they did the job, they just put the pads on. How much did they charge you?
$145.
Ooh.
$145. Did they do anything else besides putting pads? Did they machine the disc rotors?
Nothing else.
You sure?
Well, I've been back 4 times.
Well, so. Where's your receipt? Do you have the receipt?
It just said new pads, brake pads.
For $145?
Well, we charged $280 for that. But no place else on the receipt did it say what else they did, like machine, disc? I suspect.
They had to have.
It didn't say, all it says is new brake pads.
Well,
$145.
All right, well, here's what you do. Go back to them and say, look, guys, I would like you to replace the disc rotors.
Disc rotors?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because that's what the problem is.
I knew it had to be
I believe you have a warped... When you first drive the car in the morning, is the noise sometimes not there?
Yes. Sometimes it's not. After I was driving it that one day for about 6 hours straight around town, stopping, going, that's when it came back.
Yeah, as the rotor heats up, it's warping.
Okay.
And that's why you get the boom, boom, boom. Do you feel a pulsing in your brake pedal, too?
Yes, and on the floorboard if you're in the passenger seat.
Oh, it's classic.
What's the matter with these guys?
Who are these guys?
I don't know, but I'm never going back.
Well, you go
not
back.
Not only that, I mean, you really should look at this at your bill again, because if they really charged you $145 to put in a set of pads.
Oh, they probably had a boat payment or two. Don't worry about it.
That's a bit outrageous.
The pads shouldn't have cost that much.
Oh, no.
Actually, the bona fide Ford pads might cost that much. Metallic pads might be $60 or $70 for the parts.
Okay.
And they could have charged you.
3 hours to put them in?
Well, they were learning. I mean, that's why they want you to get your money's worth. That's why they've had you come back
and
all these times.
And don't forget, when they charged her, they had not put in Ford pads. They had put in whatever other pads
they had. They got caught doing that because the first 2 times they didn't put in the Ford.
So. Right, yeah. They put in the El Gunjos the first time.
Yeah, so, I mean, they really charged you. And this was a free inspection, eh?
Yes.
There goes that theory.
There's never a free lunch. My dad always taught me that, and now I guess I have to believe him.
Well, he's right. But go someplace and have somebody put new disc rotors on, and that's going to fix it.
Okay.
Good luck, Kristen.
Oh, thanks so much.
All right.
Good luck.
Bye-bye. Scottsdale. Is that where Robert Burns is from?
Yeah. Well, that's why it's called Scottsdale.
Yes,
you know. Robert Burns retired there.
Well, another hour of your youth has been squandered listening to Car Talk. Isn't it amazing how fast an hour goes by? It takes like 9,500 minutes, something like that. Our producer is the dieting Doug Chunky Bunky Berman.
What, he's on a diet?
Oh, yeah, he's...
Yeah, he is getting chunky.
Oh, he punched right out, man.
Oh, he did. You know why?
Hanging around with Bugsy Free Lunch Lawler. I know why. Our associate producer and the dean of the College of Automusicology is Ken Babyface Rogers. Our engineer and assistant producer is Jennifer Jiffy Loeb. Our technical advisor is the old man himself, John Bugsy, Sebastian, Mr. Height, Sweet Cheeks, Free Lunch, Donut, Breath, Lawler.
You got them all in.
Didn't I?
Yeah, good.
I might have missed one. Let me start from the beginning again. No, he isn't here this week, and it's not kind.
It's not fair to just... The guy's not even here to defend himself, and you're coming out with John, Bugsy, Sebastian, Mr. Height, Sweet Cheeks, Free Lunch, Donut Brett, too.
Vacationing Waller. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research. Our automotive medical researcher is Dr. Denton Fender. Our director of purchasing is Lois Bitter. Our staff nutritionist is Arlene Menu. Our staff psychologist is Les Moody. The head of the buildings and grounds is Mo DeLon. Our director of long-range strategic planning is Kay Sarah, who's married to Frank Sarah.
And now they call her what? Kay Sarah.
The chairman of our math department, Horatio Algebra. Oh, I like that nice fade out. Mr. Gigi does our hair. And, of course, our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is you, Louis Dewey, known behind the bars as Huey Louie Dewey. We're Click and Clack the Tappet Brothers. Thanks for listening, but don't drive like my brother. Don't sing like him either.
Don't drive like my brother.
Thanks for listening. See you next week. Bye-bye.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And although Cokie Roberts would never believe it if she tuned in right now, this is NPR, National Public Radio.